We got it? Thank you. Is there anyone still asleep? Amen. 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 I'm just going to go right into the word. Just go ahead and you can come back for the altar call. What a God we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Easter and I love what God does for us every year at Easter time. Actually, I love what he did for us the first Easter and what he is continuing to do in our lives. What an awesome God that we serve. In the book of John, chapter 10, reading two verses of scripture, the Bible says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, may your anointing accomplish what you please in the lives of your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Jesus declares to the world, I am the door of salvation. No one can come to the Father. No one can enter the kingdom. No one can take part in the life that I have for them except that they come through me. I not only came that you might have life, but I came that you might have it abundantly. Abundant life means extraordinary, more than enough, more than sufficient, over and above all, overflowing life. That is the life that Jesus came to give unto us. The scriptures teach us that from the very beginning of time, God wanted us to live a happy and prosperous life. Sometimes we don't feel that way, and sometimes it doesn't look that way. In fact, sometimes it's not that way, but that is what God intended for us. In Genesis, we read that everything God created, including mankind, was good. In fact, seven times in verses 4, 10, 12, 17, 21, and 25, it says everything he created was good. And then in verse 31, he adds to that, very good after creating mankind. Everything that God made for us to enjoy in this world was good. God gave Adam dominion or authority over all of the creation so that mankind could share in the glory of God's creation and wonderful works. Adam and Eve's rebellion against God through the inspiration and temptation of the devil left mankind in sin and bondage and subject to decay and destruction. That always comes when we are in rebellion against God. Since Adam's failure, the world has been living in chaos, living outside the grace and the goodness of God. And that has resulted in a world that is very different from the one that God created for us. Chaos results from a lack of God's systematic spiritual balance in this world. The balance that is necessary for us to experience His peace, His joy, His love, His holiness. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Bible gives us a powerful look at what it would be like to live in the world that God initially created, because He describes the fruit of the Spirit. And most of you, or many of you, are familiar with this. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, loyalty, gentleness, and self-control. I think we could get along with each other if we were manifesting and demonstrating those characteristics. That's how He created us to live. But in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he describes the world that we're actually living in. And he says, this is human nature outside the glorious work and manifestation of God in their lives. The fruit of what we call the flesh. It is a population after thousands of years that exhibits adultery, sexual immorality,
vulgarity, unrestrained depravity, idolatry, sorcery, addictive behavior, hatred, contentiousness, jealousness, angry outbursts, selfish ambitions, argumentation, divisiveness, envy, violence, drunkenness, uncontrolled wild partying, and ungodliness. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the Holy Scripture. And that is the society that we live in today, which is so sad to God and so sad to most of us. Because whether we want to be a part of that world or not, we are in that world. But Jesus came to free us from the spirit and authority and power of that world. He came to free us from sin and from its influence and from its bondage upon our life. That is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus died. That is why he rose again. Which world would you want to live in? In one where people are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, or in one where they're manifesting the fruit of chaos and rebellion against God? Jesus came so that we might live and live abundant lives. To simply survive. Completely escape the depravity. I don't know what's going on. The best plans. Now are we all awake? Amen. We cannot completely escape the depravity of the world that we live in. That's why we suffer in this world. But Jesus came to deliver us from the spirit of depravity and enable us to experience the fruit of his righteousness by enabling us to overcome the chaos of life and enjoy his presence while yet in this world. That's what we talk about when we talk about having a personal relationship with God. It is a relationship that enables us to enjoy the presence of God in our life in spite of everything that we are going through in this world. He gives us peace in the midst of life's storms. When Jesus rose from the dead on the first Easter Sunday, he secured our victory over the power of sin and death, and then by sending back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to overcome sin, sadness, and suffering. But rather than to talk about what Christ did in the past, I felt led of the Lord to ask the congregation to share with me some testimonies of what God is doing in the present. And I want to share them with you today. I want you to know that Jesus came and died and paid our price and rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father and is interceding for us even now, because he is not only a historical God, but he is an everyday present God who helps us in our time of need. And so I want to share with you very quickly several testimonies this morning of people in our congregation that God has shown himself to be alive unto them and in them. Testimony number one. How did my life change when Jesus became my Savior? As a young child of 4 and 5, I knew Jesus was God and that he made the world. But who was God to me growing up in church as a little child? Knowing God was sitting quietly in a pew, dressed in nice clothes on Sunday, not running in the church hallways. Sometimes it was clapping hands, singing songs, and getting candy for remembering Bible verses. Knowing God was staying out of trouble at home and at school. I pieced together my idea of God from the glares of disapproval from those at church. As a teen, it changed to, do I go to youth group? What music do I listen to? Where do I go and who are my friends? I remember the looks, the comments, and the rules. I remember not feeling good enough even as a very young child. Did God glare down at me and keep track of my list of sins? I remember being so sad because I thought making it to heaven was out of my reach, yet my heart longed for him. I just wasn't brave enough. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't good enough. If only I could trade places with the preacher on TV who seemed to have faith and confidence in God. But then before my eyes, many of these figures and people at church failed and left the faith. So if they couldn't make it, who could? And then God, in his perfect time, changed everything. As a young adult, I began to see clearly the old ways I thought about God start falling away. He showed me that he was fun. He taught me that things were simpler than I had put together in my mind. The kingdom of God is inside me. What does that even mean? I'm still learning. But I know God's kingdom is powerful, and I know it's full of love, and it's full of faith, and there's no such thing as impossible. There's no fear in his kingdom. And that's something I choose to believe. I stop focusing on my failures and realize no human is good enough, strong enough, or brave enough. Jesus gives us the free gift of salvation, and it comes with love and acceptance. I grew up in church all of my life, and it can still be very hard at times, but I can say it's never hard loving my perfect God because I changed the way I think about him. He's my hero who never looks down on me and only thinks good things about me. He gives me hope and a future, and he puts impossible dreams inside my heart. Now I know this life was meant to be an exciting, passionate adventure of discovering the one true eternal God. I look up to heaven with a smile and say, yes, I am yours, all of me. Let me have all of you. So I will continue one day at a time, all the days of my life. I am a child of God. That testimony is from Lori Sweet. Stand up, Lori, wherever you're at. Amen. Praise God for what he's doing in her life. Amen. She escaped the tyranny of religion into a relationship with Christ. Religion can never save you. Jesus can and will. Second testimony, I was stuck. Didn't know where I was stuck, but I knew I was stuck. I was angry and resentful in the pit of why me? My heart ached, my body ached, my brain ached. I hadn't been to church in years and really didn't want to be here either, but kept coming back. I got in a Monday morning women's life group, and those women loved me right where I was. Very messed up. Through the years, I learned to let people get close again. I talked about things I went through long ago, and I experienced healing of those bad memories. Through these women, I learned to love God and to let love in. The walls of standing guard and being defensive are being broken. Generations of addictions to alcohol, drugs, sex, and abuse have been broken in my life. Even my 3-year-old great-grandson now says, let's pray about it, when he's told no. Don't you love that? Since I've been here, my 2 baby brothers have died. Being the oldest, I did ask God why, but I trust him. Don't ever give up. Keep praying. The power of God is awesome. No problem is bigger than the power of the God within you. He loves you. He sees every tear. Stand firm in your journey. This is the testimony of Donna Keith. Where are you, Donna? Stand up. Stand up. Somebody say, praise God. Amen. After years of hiding from church, she now is involved in ministry in our church and is a tremendous prayer warrior, as well as a part of our hospitality team. I want to share one more thing from Donna. Some of you know about this, but many of you do not. So I want to share this. Put the first picture up there. This is Donna's great-grandson. Said a year ago, a great-grandson was born with a lot of problems. The first 81 days of his life were spent in the hospital being hooked up to life support, oxygen, tubes in his belly. He couldn't swallow and died twice being brought back to life with the power of God. This baby was not to see, not to walk, not to talk. Show the next picture. This is in the process of his healing. When he did go home, it was with an oxygen tent and a feeding tube. But through the power of God, this baby is in the nursery walking, running, and talking. Thank you, church, for all of your prayers for this baby. Show the next picture. There it is. The boy who could not see can see. The boy who could not talk can talk. The boy who would never walk is now walking. The boy who they said would never live is now living because of the power of prayer and the power of the God that we serve. Somebody say amen. We love you. We love your grandson, Abel Rozier, and we are so grateful for what God is doing in his life and in your life. Third testimony. For most of my life, I have been quietly dealing with the same issues: depression, fear, anxiety, and low self-esteem. I never spoke out because I felt it was my fault. If I would have just had the joy of the Lord, I wouldn't be so sad. If I would just trust God more, I wouldn't have so much fear and anxiety. If I would lose weight, I would feel better about myself. If I would just. I put on a mask to hide my true feelings so people couldn't see how much of a bad Christian I was for dealing with all of this. I poured myself out completely on everyone I could in an attempt to earn the title of a better Christian. Maybe then I wouldn't feel so bad about myself. But I didn't guard my heart. I let everybody in, and I was completely vulnerable. What happens when you're completely vulnerable is you get hurt. And that is exactly what I got, which caused more depression and more pain. I began to focus on this hurt, which of course magnified the hurt, so much so that I did not want to live anymore. I began to dream about my funeral and no one showing up. I began to daydream about suicide. The problem with internalizing all of your junk and not showing your true feelings is you feel isolated in your problem. I began to feel very alone. Friends would make me the butt of their jokes, as all kids do. But it made me feel attacked and even more isolated. Those of you who knew me in high school are probably thinking, what? You always had a smile on your face. You were always so bubbly and so loud. Exactly. I had the need to be noticed, so I was loud. I wore loud clothes. I wore glitter to attract attention. Some of you already know now who this is all about. As long as I was being noticed, I wasn't alone. At least that was my logic. Through my mask, my glitter didn't help me feel better. I began to make myself throw up so I could lose weight, but that didn't help. I still didn't like myself, and I began to cut myself so I could control who hurt me. My daydreams got worse, though I never acted on them. Then I went to college, and this is where I really fell apart. I didn't have my circle of friends to help me feel accepted. I didn't have my church and my church school to keep my feet on the ground. Everything was new. No one knew who I was, and I thought that would be great at first. No expectations. I could just be me. But I had been hiding me for so long, I didn't know who I was. I tried so hard to make friends, but I was so afraid of being hurt, I built walls and became too quiet. I began to fade into the background of my own life. I started seeing a guy, and I thought he was great until I found out he was cheating on his girlfriend back home with me. He broke up with both of us and started dating a new girl. I was devastated. My thinking was so screwy by now, I was upset because he didn't pick me over his girlfriend. Why wasn't I good enough for him? Why didn't he break up with his girlfriend for me? Then I started seeing another guy. Thought he was great. We dated for over a year. I thought he was the, quote, one. But it turns out I was dead wrong. He hurt me more than I thought a person could. Through all of this, I am continuing to internalize my hurt, to focus on my pain. I didn't want to be alive anymore. I began to skip classes, to stay in bed. At one point, I stayed in bed for 2 straight weeks. I felt like you could see my dysfunction all over me. There was a time when I refused to go to the dining hall because I didn't want people to see me eating alone. I stopped trying to make friends. I stopped trying to get involved. I stopped giving people the options to hurt me. I built an impenetrable fortress and isolated myself in it. During all this time, I would have periods where I thought things were getting better, and then something would happen to knock me down again. So I would stay down. Then I would get determined to get back up again, and it would happen all over. Every hurt felt worse than before. I kept running tally on all the hurt that I had experienced. It was my focus. I wanted to get past it, but I just didn't know how. Then I started seeing yet another guy and went through the same old cycle. I threw myself wholeheartedly into this relationship, and when the breakup came, I thought, here it is again. I'm just destined to be hurt by every person I come into contact with. I got to the point where I expected people to hurt me. And I remember at that point in the relationship, begging him to love me. I just needed someone to love me, someone to care for me. But instead, he hurt me just like all of the others. At this point, I began to completely throw myself at God. I came back to my home church. I needed help. I knew I needed help, but I still wasn't ready to tell anyone what I really felt. I began growing by leaps and bounds, and I started to learn how to love me. I started to learn who I was. Things were going great. I thought I had finally done enough. Then I met my husband and we started dating, and after a while, all those insecurities came rushing back and I expected him to hurt me like all the others. I was waiting for it. With God's help, I started to believe he really truly loved me and was not going to intentionally hurt me. We got engaged, but that just really helped my insecurities. This guy knows all about my dysfunction, or as much as I would allow him to know, and he still wants to marry me anyway. Things were getting better again, except it wasn't. I have no idea what triggered it, but I felt so inadequate all over again. I wasn't enough. I had a whole list of things I wasn't. All the pain from the past flooded my emotions. I cut myself again. I cried constantly. I did not want to live. My daydreams returned. I needed help. I wanted help, but I needed professional help. I wasn't ready to show my dysfunction to the church yet, but I couldn't afford a professional, which only added to my feeling of inadequacy. I cried and screamed out to God, "Please help me." Then my aunt committed suicide. And my life turned completely upside down. It terrified me. I kept repeating to myself, that could be me. That could be me. It became my mantra. At this point, I decided I didn't care. I needed help. I reached out to some ladies at the church, and wouldn't you know it, they reached right back. They found me a place to go and where I can get help that I so desperately needed. I finally got counseling, where I've come to understand that the depression I'm battling is not because I'm a bad Christian. I don't have anxiety because I don't trust God. I battle depression and anxiety because it's an illness that can be attributed to my genetics, much like diabetes or high blood pressure. Sometimes medication is needed to keep the symptoms at bay. But I'm learning that just because I have depression, it does not mean I have to live in a state of depression. I am learning how to have joy despite of it. I am learning to check my focus. I am learning that it's okay to reach out, sometimes necessary. I'm learning that even taking medication is not a failure. Why do I say all of this? Because this is my testimony. This is what God has brought me through. And I know that God is not going to have me go through something so hard without being able to help someone else go through the same or similar situations. I didn't go through this for nothing. I may have gone through this to help you. Depression may be a taboo subject now, but I want to tear that stronghold down. Do not live in your depression, anxiety, or fear another day because you are afraid to talk about it. It's real and it's deadly. I've taken back my life. I've been a spectator far too long. I've been afraid of rejection, hurt, and failure far too long. I've taken my stand. I may meet failure again, but it won't look me in the eye. I may fear again, but I won't let it hold my hand. I may meet insecurity again, but I won't wear it like a robe any longer. I've gotten out of my home and I'm facing the world. come what may, my confidence is in the Lord. Can you say amen? Stacy, where are you? Back in the sound room. Amen. Amen. How many people struggle thinking that there's no one to reach out to them when in fact there is? Not only does God love them, but God has a family that loves people and reaches out to those that are in need. And because we become a Christian, it doesn't mean that every battle is over, but it means we will never have to battle alone again for the rest of our lives. The God we serve is there to help us get the help that we need and to become strong and to become whole. Remember, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have one more testimony that I want to read to you this morning. Throughout my young years, I craved attention from my dad, but never got enough. I was obsessed with boys to the extreme. I was boy crazy at 5 years old. I was abused when I was 7 or 8 years old. It was short. It was a short-lived moment in my life, and it stopped just as soon as it started, but the damage was done. I told no one for a very long time. So here I am, a young child with daddy issues, and on top of that, I now have no self-worth. I felt damaged and unlovable. I didn't even believe my own parents loved me, even though they did. At the age of 21, I became pregnant. The father, when he found out I was pregnant, wanted nothing to do with me. I would visit the bars looking for men. And not too long after, I became pregnant again. I don't remember all of my thought processes, but I do know I was devastated. I barely could make it with just me and the baby. Who would watch the kids? I couldn't afford my time off work, and I did not want that man in my life. I don't like to think back to this time, so I'm not sure how, but I came to the decision to end the pregnancy. They require you to speak to a counselor before you go in, and I remember telling her, I wouldn't do this if my parents would barge down the door and say no matter what, they would help me, but my parents didn't even know. I told her, I didn't want to do it, but I felt like I had to. I was so disappointed when she continued with the process. I was hoping she would talk me out of it, but instead she said, I can tell you have your head on straight and you know what you want. Many years later, I was terribly lonely and depressed that I was not married. Once again, I was at the bars trying to find love. One particular night, I was out with friends. I became so intoxicated that I was in and out of consciousness. I was driven home by someone, passed out on my bed at some point, and I awoke while being assaulted. A few weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. I was dating my husband at the time, but my due date was estimated to be right along with my assailant to the exact day. And it stayed that way throughout the whole pregnancy. It was then that I became a praying woman. Abortion this time was not an option. I promised God I wouldn't, and it wasn't even a thought. The pregnancy ended up being from my husband and was not the result of the assault. More years passed, and I'm still in the bar scene, but desperately wanting to get out. I was looking for a church, and at my friend's request, I went to church with her, and the pastor said he was looking forward to speaking with me. I began telling him my past sins, and he stopped the meeting and said he could hear no more. It would change how he viewed me, but I had already said too much. He sent me on my way, and I never heard from them again. Rejection was a familiar experience in my life. As a family, we were looking for a church when we both walked into Christian Life Church, realizing my husband and I had both went here as teens. Whenever I was at church, I felt so judged. I didn't have a good history with churches. I was on constant defense. The other churches didn't accept me. I figured this one wouldn't either if they knew. I started reading the Bible not as a chore, but as a way to learn who my Creator was. Almost every day I read a chapter or two from the Old Testament, which taught me faith. A few verses from Proverbs and Psalms, which taught me praise and wisdom. And a few verses from the New Testament, which taught me love and instruction. I found it to be true. The Word became alive in my life. My prayer life began changing when I made the time to get on my knees. My prayers in the car while I was folding clothes was great, but I wanted God to know He was worth my time on my knees. And it was there I received many answers to prayer. 4 years later, 4 years of growth, and God has allowed me to see what a relationship looks like with Him. My story is this. I came into this church thinking I was being judged, but how could that be? No one here knew what I was keeping a secret. It wasn't judgment I was feeling. It was my own convictions. My life journey of being rejected by my father, by men, by the churches, had developed into this huge fear of people and what people thought of me. When it's God, I will answer to. With a lifetime of being the victim of rape, left as a single mother, abused, not being important enough as a child, I was encouraged to think only about myself. I didn't have it in me to think of anyone else or to pray for anyone else. But now, God has freed me, and I'm seeing how a loving God is loving His people. God has me. I don't need to be consumed by the broken me anymore. I want to be used by God to heal and bless others. Testimony from Amy Gagliardi. Amy, would you stand? Amen. Amen. I want you to know that I did not ask any of these people to write down what they wrote. In fact, after I read their testimonies, I questioned every one of them. Are you sure you want to make this public knowledge? And they said, yes, because we know there are others who are struggling. And we want them to know that God loves them just as He loves us, and that there is hope for them and there is help for them. Amy, I want you to come on down here. Family, you can come on down with her. Amen. Lori, you're welcome to come. Donna, you're welcome to come. And Stacy, you're welcome to come on down as well. The one thing I didn't ask for permission to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, so you'll have to forgive me. At the end of her testimony, Amy said, after reading this, I hope you can still love me. And it broke my heart. And the first time I got a chance to see her, I said, Amy, there's nothing you have ever done or ever could do that would make me stop loving you. Because you belong to God. Even when you didn't know it, even when you didn't know Him, you belong to Him, and He loves you. I wanted the family to come up here, and I wanted these others to come up here, because they are people who God has healed or is healing. They are people that have come a long way because they have chosen to put their trust in a mighty Savior. You may have problems different than theirs. You may not have any of the problems that they have. But all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have failed to be what God created us to be. And it's because of the sin nature. That is why Jesus came. We cannot pay the price for our own sin. And oftentimes, even when we want help, we don't know how to get that help. Often we search in the wrong places for that help. But there is a God who heals, a God who saves, and a God who delivers. I'm going to ask our prayer elders to come forward at this time as well and stand before this congregation. All of you that are prayer elders in our church, just come on forward at this time. I'm going to lead all of us in a prayer of salvation. You can pray it for the first time, or you can pray it for the 10,000th time. And then I'm going to invite anyone here who would desire prayer to feel free to come forward and allow our prayer elders and these who have given their testimonies this morning to pray with you, because they shared their testimony because of the love of God that's in their heart. And whatever issue you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, whatever your need, it may just simply be your life may be great in every way, except there's still something missing in your life. You're trying to figure out what it is. And I can tell you what it is. When God created you, He placed within you a place for Him to live. And until He fills that void, nothing else, not enough money, not enough houses, not great careers, not even great families, nothing else will fill that void. But He can fill it and begin transforming you today. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand to your feet. And if you will you repeat this prayer with me? Jesus, I acknowledge that You are the Son of God, that You died upon the cross to pay the price for my sins. You came that I might have life, abundant life, overcoming life, because there's much to overcome in this world. Forgive me of my sins. I receive You as my Savior and my Lord. Come into my heart through the Holy Spirit. Heal me, transform me, and help me to experience that life You originally wanted me to have. And I will thank You all the days of my life until I see You in glory. Amen and amen. The congregation is standing. The Bible says, call upon the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed any sins, they will be forgiven. And so I'm going to invite you right now, if you will, to step out of your seat and come forward and allow these individuals here to just pray with you this morning. You may be here and say, I don't even know how to pray. You know, prayer is just talking to God. But they'll lead you in a prayer if that is necessary. But they certainly will pray for you and minister to you. The worship team is going to sing a song during this time. But I want you, if you will, if you have a need, would you just step forward? The service is not long, has not gone long, and there's plenty of time for you to get the help that you need if you will allow God to. All over this building, spiritual, physical, emotional, relational, whatever your need, if you will come forward, someone will pray with you this morning. And you can walk out of here with God in that void that's in your heart. Come on. Come on.
Not one drop of blood.
Anyone and everyone, you're welcome.